is in this place. Yes, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. For surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. In the holy rush around us. In the holy rush around us. As God's glory fills this place, I've touched the hem of God's garment. I can almost see God's face, and my heart is overflowing with the fullness of joy. And I know without a doubt that I've been with the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel God's mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. For surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Let's sing that again. Yes, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel God's mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. For surely the presence, oh, surely the presence, yes, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Amen. God bless you. Come on up, Sister King. You guys can be seated. Amen. Good to see you, sister.
I'm glad to be back.
Amen.
Satan's like to tell me, no, you went Sunday, now stay at home tonight. I said, no, once I get started, I can keep going, you know, fight Satan more. But I never been fit as much as Satan as this, what he's done to me this time. You know, my hip was hurting, but I didn't think much about it, you know. It was hurting in my knee, and I thought it could be my knee since I had that replaced. Well, anyway, I got the hurting so bad that I just couldn't hardly stand it. But I went to the emergency room. My son took me, and they said, they x-rayed and CAT scan on my hip, and they said, well, you got a bad case of arthritis in the right hip, and it's starting in the left, and said, and you got COVID. I went through all this and not even had it, but I tell you what, I don't know. It wasn't funny. I don't want it no more, and I don't know if it's something caused it to come out on my hip. I don't know, but I know it's not funny. And I desire the prayers of everybody.
Amen.
And I want to keep coming back here. This is where the word is. And
yes.
Amen. I want to sing We Fall Down, the key of G, 194. We Fall Down. Appreciate you, Sister King, that push. It's an example to all of us. Yes, we fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. Yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy. Yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy. cry. Oh, and we cry.
I was sitting there thinking, you know, about that holy, 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 you know, in heaven, during the ages, you know, they were in heaven. The noise was in heaven, you know. Right. The noise was up there. They were crying, holy, 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 continually, night and day, nonstop. But now the holy, holy, holy is down here.
There was a silence.
You know, and there's a reason for that. Uh-huh. You know, we're not just, you know, some unseen force. We're praising the word.
Amen.
Every promise is mine.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, the... Every promise is mine.
Right.
Everything he spoke of in this day belongs to me. Yes. And this is what I honor. This is why I'm crying holy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm because healing is mine.
Yeah.
You know? Yes, it is.
Paul said, I would that you prosper and be in health.
Yeah.
That's part of the word. That's mine.
Part of the word, yeah.
I'm not going to take a back seat and say, well, I got to be beat down and downtrodden and poor all my life.
No.
No, I'm going to move up in this world a little bit, yeah. You know, live a little comfortable. And it don't matter what the devil says.
No.
Healing is mine.
Amen.
You know, that seemed like something we were tossed with so much, but
yeah.
Healing is mine.
And mine.
He promised it.
Yeah.
And I'd be dropping a holy if I didn't say healing is mine with every breath when I'm needing it. You know, if I didn't need comforting with every breath, I'd be dropping one of those holies. You know, I'd be taking a back seat to the devil, and I just won't do it.
No.
I will not do it. I won't give the devil time of day.
Amen.
You know, and you know, I look at my daughter back there. That healing is just as much mine as any healing ever was throughout all time.
Yeah.
If he can raise the dead, he can open blinded eyes.
Yeah.
If he can heal a headache, he can open blinded eyes.
Yeah.
Is anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
You know, I believe that.
Amen.
It's just mine. Rest is up to him. You know, when somebody comes to you, and your child comes to you, even your wife comes to you, and she don't hardly want to ask you, you know, afraid to ask you.
Right.
I just almost want to just turn and walk away.
That's right.
Come on now. All you got to do is ask.
Yeah.
Let me know what's on your mind. You know,
yeah.
You know, I love you.
Yeah.
You know, I should be enough. You should bring anything you got to me.
Yeah.
And he loves us.
Amen.
And it'd certainly be doing a disservice not to bring him everything.
Amen.
Everything. And holy, you know, just like childlike faith.
Amen.
A child, you know, they just don't know better than just to ask for the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When these children, you know, we've heard it testify, when they find out, all they got to do is ask. Well, they start asking.
Start asking.
So I just want to ask.
Yeah.
You know, it's up to him.
Amen.
He cannot lie. You know, he loves me. So
yeah.
I know he's going to give me everything I need.
Yeah.
And really, he even said he'd give me the desires of my heart.
Yeah.
Even what I want.
Even what I want.
You know, we don't hardly want to ask him for what we want.
Yeah.
You know, well, you want to back up and say, well, Lord, just if it be your will.
Right.
Yeah. When he's asking us, ask what you will.
Right. Yeah.
Ask what you will.
Have not.
Amen.
Amen.
I love the word. I believe the word.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Don Destin. Appreciate that. We got a quick announcement. We got just remember those that are traveling, as they're traveling and getting back here. We know church and that people are sick and stuff like that. Remember
Amen.
Those.
Amen.
But then Brother Jeremiah is going to be at Little Bethlehem on June 11th, preaching there. So looking forward to that. Tonight, Brother Kobe's brought a special guest. So we're looking
Amen.
Forward to hearing that tonight. I'm excited to hear what he's going to say. And, you know, to the point of Brother Don Destin's testimony, I when you talk about they were praising in heaven continually, day and night.
Right.
But there was a time period where they stopped.
Right.
That's the part the church world misses.
I know it.
Yeah, they're not. They weren't doing that the whole time. There was a time period where they stopped.
Right.
Silence they praised God all the while he was in their presence.
Amen. Right.
The whole time he sat on the throne, when he was sitting on the throne, they praised him continually.
Right.
But when he wasn't there, they had nothing to praise. They were waiting for him to get back.
Sure.
But then the praises started happening somewhere else.
It dwells in the praises.
It started somewhere else. There was no more shouting in heaven anymore.
Amen.
There was a shouting on earth. There was a group of people that recognized that God was there.
Yes.
They could see him in each other. They recognized him in the mist. And that's when the praises really started for us.
Yes.
We recognize God. So that's the difference between any other age, any other time period. Then they said it was a space of about a half an hour.
Right.
Just
right.
long enough to be revealed.
Right.
Just long enough to tell you all the secrets. Yeah. Just long enough to give you all you would need to make it through. You know, sometimes people talk about like the cliff notes. God came down and just gave you the cliff notes.
Right.
He didn't have to read through Genesis to Revelation. He just came down and said, I'll give you the end of the story. Let you know how it wrapped up.
Right.
I'll let you know where you're at. Let me tell you where. You know, matter of fact, that's even what happened with John. John wept much when he didn't know who could open the book.
Right.
John wept much when he saw nobody was worthy. But as soon as you opened the book and saw his name, I don't need to search for anybody else's name in there. Once I saw my name in there, I don't need to go through any other pages. I don't need to look through the back, to the front. As soon as I see my name is on the list, that's all that matters to me.
That's right.
When it comes time to go to an event, I don't have to see if you got a ticket, if you got a ticket.
No, no.
If I got my ticket, I know I'm okay. Right. If I got enough for me and mine,
that's
I know I'm
all
right. See, that's what happened with John. See, John didn't weep no more when he saw his name in there.
No.
There was an understanding there. John was no longer unknown, unlearned. He had an opportunity. Matter of fact, even when you go to read the book of Revelations, I'm going to sing one song, get Brother Covey up here. But even when you read the book of Revelations, that front part of it really is just John giving you a secret before he starts. It really could just start at verse 4. It really could just start there. That's really, the book of Revelation could start verse right there when Jesus is talking to the church. But John was like, hold on, before I tell you this, let me put a secret in here. These things that I'm about to tell you, if you're able to read and understand and keep the words of this prophecy, then guess what?
Time is at hand.
Time is at hand.
Amen.
And guess what? If you can read this, that means your name's in the book too.
That's right.
Oh, see, when you start seeing that, that's why Brother Branham even said, when you see John as a type of the bride.
Right.
John saw himself, we see ourselves. So I love all of that. I love going through there and, you know, just seeing those things. And it just gets me excited because we see things that other people can't see. And we just plain talk is easy understood. So I thank God for breaking us down in simplicity. Let's sing a chorus here and get Brother Covey up, and he can do whatever he's going to do tonight. He's no stranger here. We already know what mic you want. We got the volume setting you want. We're going to sing in the key of Covey, and we're going to get you up here. So let's sing page 191, God Has Smiled on Me, the key of G.
Yes,
looking forward to this. Amen. God has smiled on me. Yes, God has smiled on me. He has set me free.
Yes, God has.
Oh, He smiled on me. A light unto, a light unto my path is He. Without Him I would fall. I don't know what He is to you, but to me He's my all in all. Yes, God has. Come on up, Brother Kobe. He has set
smiled on me.
now if you mean it.
Yes, he's been good to me.
Yes. Boy, has God not been good. Wow. Wow, my. Well, I brought you a special guest here tonight. Now, he ain't going to... Yeah. He ain't going to preach tonight, but boy, he sure could. He's lived a lot of life and went through a lot of valleys and mountaintop experiences and seen the experience of the real true God in this day. From the dead being raised to just everything.
That's the truth. Yep.
But you know what the greatest miracle is? It's the word being revealed. And you know, probably tonight, if you listen close enough, you'll experience that miracle tonight, that the word becoming real. So, but anyway, I asked my dad up here to open us up in prayer and just bring that, just that presence that's in him, out of him, so that we can all experience that. I told the brother Jay, I said, I don't know if the preacher tonight's going to want to use the mic or the headset, so he just set my dad up with
gave it to me.
Hey,
that way I can't say nothing in secret here.
Yes.
All right. Well, anyway, I heard there's going to be a Holy Ghost meeting over here tonight, so Eric invited me, like he does everybody he can. And so I thought I'd be just a shadow tonight, because he throws a big one, you know. So anyway, we was at a funeral today, and what happens if you're not Christian and you're not a Christian funeral? It's a sad thing, because everything that went on there was just, my thoughts is, there's nothing going on here because God is not here. The only way that whenever we came, you know, but the Lord is so good to us. Amen. That the brother was saying there that before the foundation of the world, I'm glad he didn't just pick me. I was with him. He had, I was with him, so he couldn't go nowhere without me. So I thank the Lord for that, and I really believe in this message that we have, because I'm telling you, in 19, and I believe it's like whenever the Lord came to me about 1968, you don't have to quit nothing whenever God comes to you. God takes all of that crazy foolishness stuff away from you, and then you can live on. It's good to live a life with freedom and to feel good, have a good life in the Lord. Or would you want a bad one and still live the long same time? You know, I'd rather have the good one than have the good feeling. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, we're thankful, God, to be here today, and we love you with all of our heart. We ask you to bless the songs and bless the speaking, whatever the word will be for us tonight. We ask you to let us just attach to it and let it be just part of the life that we live for you from now on. We know that your coming is real short, and we're looking for it, God. And we see all of your presence all the time, you know, with all your people, and we're just glad to be part of this. It's just a great awakening that you've given to us, and we're glad that you woke us up and let us know that you're coming, and not only that, that you've been here for so long just to help us, to get us ready. Thank you, Lord, for all that. We ask you to bless the preacher tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry that we've heard that has kept us through all this time. Yes. Something that the Lord has revealed just to his own, and we're glad we're his own. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay.
Well, I started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. Well, I had a lot of heartache, had a lot of grief and woe. But when I would stumble, then I would humble down. And there I would say, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and tries to turn me around, he's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want and worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. nothing in this world that could ever take the place of God's love. Oh, all the silver and gold couldn't buy any help from above. But when my soul needs healing and I begin to feel His power, oh, there I would say I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and tries to turn me around, well, he's offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I want and worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Raise your voice tonight if you mean it. Oh, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and tries to turn me around. Oh, he's offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I want and worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. One more time tonight. Oh, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and tries to turn me around. Oh, he's offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I want and worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, if I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Would you? I wouldn't. Oh, if I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Yes. Do you just feel him walk in the door? You ever sometimes your dad comes home from work, you can just feel his presence come in the door? Well, our Father's been out working. He's been out defeating everything in our life, and he's coming in from work to rest tonight. And he's going to sit down, and he wants to hear what we have to say about him and how thankful that we are. You know, that there's one line in that song, I've never really seen it this way before, but it says, he's talking about the devil saying this. He's offered everything that's got a name.
Right.
What only name is there? Is Jesus.
Amen.
So he's offering the bride of Christ because we've got that name.
Mm-hmm.
He offers us worldly fame,
right.
Anything we want,
sure.
But no, we're on a different journey.
That's right.
Oh, and if I could, still.
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't at all. I like these testimonies, Brother Deskin. God is God. He don't change for nothing or nobody. And if we're of God and we're in God, we don't change. You know, God changes not. So that's why when people see us walking down the street, they see God. They see Christ. Because we're, you know, a lot of people, they see me walking and they say, hey, are you Dallas Covey's boy? You look just like him, you know, without hair, but you look just like him, you know. So, but Brother Deskin, I tell you what, the supernatural is all around. And we don't even hardly have to reach out to grab it. The supernatural is right here in us because it's the spoken word. All we got to do is speak it. Why cry? Why cry? Just speak. And sometimes we speak and we don't understand why we think God's not answering. But, buddy, hindsight is 20/20. Boy, you can see clear looking back at why he didn't help you out of that situation, because that situation was molding us and making us, and
Amen.
We were being tried in the fire.
Amen.
Just like we was talking about the statue of Moses or something here a couple weeks ago. And I was thinking of the statue of David.
Mm-hmm.
And that artist, they asked him, how did you get him to look so much like David? He said, well, that's easy. I just chipped everything away that wasn't David.
That's right.
What do you think God's doing to his masterpiece? Wow. Yeah, he's chipping away every little bit of Eric. And what's going to be left is the image. The image of God. Amen. You know. And then he's going to drop the whole canvas all at once, and he's going to give me a new body that he's already created for the foundation of the world. Boy, but yeah, God is God. And I tell you, I'm still working on my deck. It's almost another color. So anyway, I had another Mexican crew come in, and they were doing the finishing on my drywall instead of the hanging. And they're kind of different groups like we are, you know, and the first group was Catholic and kind of religious and, you know, very, you know, respectable. And the second group in there, really good guys, good hard workers. But normally they listen to that Mexican music that's real fiesta and siesta and, you know, happy. Makes you want to dance while you're in the garage with them working, you know. And so anyway, but just so happened this crew, it was Mexican music, but it sounded to me, I didn't need to hear the words, but it sounded real heavy metal. If there's such thing as Mexican heavy metal, but I mean, it was like real, it was a scary feeling in my spirit, you know? And I was listening to a message, this brother Andrew Glover, and he's a fiery, fiery preacher. Well, I was right in the middle of this message, but I had to walk in that garage to tell them guys something. So I'm listening to this message. I just feel the presence of God all over me. And I'm starting to walk into that garage, brother. I'm thinking, I better turn this off. I was feeling such a bad presence in there. And I started to reach my hand up to hit pause because it was on my phone in my pocket. It paused itself right before I stepped in that presence. It paused itself. And I thought, well, maybe it just touched my shirt or something. And, you know, and I stepped in there and I started talking to them fellas about the job, 5 or 6 minutes. And when I turned around to start to walk back out, as soon as I stepped over the threshold out of there, it unpaused itself. And it was just that presence that I was hearing didn't want nothing to do with that presence that was in there. And it's supernatural. Because in our minds, we're all thinking, ah, that's just maybe something just happened. But no, that was God. But if you don't have an eye, you can't see it. And if you don't have an ear, you're not going to be able to hear what's going to be preached tonight. How many wants to hear something from God that might just open up your ears and your eyes a little bit more? Because, you know, if we've got Jesus, the light of the world, living in us, what do you think we're bound to see? Light. We're looking for him out there, you know. So in the world, it's just dark. It's dingy. It has nothing that we desire or want. That's why our desire sit on a hard church pew and hear just a foolishness of preaching, you know. But yet that foolishness is music to our ears. But anyway, I was just thinking that was just so good. And then I'll say one more thing, and then we'll have the preacher come up. I'm ready for tonight. I, you know, you get nervous and stuff and whatever. So last night I was laying there in a bed. I was just getting ready to just totally relax. And about 9 o'clock last night, and I thought, I was getting a little nervous about tonight. And I thought, what in the world do I got to be nervous about? I just got to get up here and talk a little bit and introduce him and say a couple words. And I just got real relaxed. God don't like you real relaxed. My phone rang, 9 o'clock. I was just thinking, you know, all the pressure's on our brother. Sorry, brother, but it's on you. So anyway, the phone rang, and it's my cousin from Kentucky. And my aunt had passed away, her mother. And I knew the funeral Saturday, so I thought, yeah, we're all going to go up. But she said, yeah, the funeral Saturday, and we were talking, and we would really like you and your dad to preach the funeral, you know. And so then there it goes again. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? But you always get nervous at first. Then when you calm down, scriptures come to you, you know. And she was like a Proverbs 31 woman. I mean, she worked in the fields, and she took care of her household. She saw land and she bought it, you know. So anyway, that's kind of a direction I might go. But you be praying for me, because as soon as you hear that, my throat started to close up, started getting scratchy. I started thinking about, instead of popcorn, Halls, you know, Mentholiptus or whatever. And so anyway, I don't pronounce things real good sometimes, you know. But anyway, you just pray for me and my dad. And I'll tell you, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to stand next to your dad that's a man of God in this day. And we've done funerals together. Matter of fact, we did one several years back. They'd asked him to preach it. It was his great uncle. And he'd been in World War II and a man of God, an evangelist. And they asked him to preach a funeral, and we were going that next morning to Hopkinsville, Kentucky, like 6 hours out. And I get a phone call at midnight. Dad goes, "Hey, I'd like you to help me with this. They wanted you to talk a little bit too and say a few things." And, 5 hours before we had to get up. So I laid back in the bed, and I started zonk out, and the Lord woke me up, and he gave me a scripture. Laid back down 45 minutes later, he woke me up again with a quote that I'd heard a preacher say one time. And then he woke me up 4 or 5 more times. I had about 7 or 8 things that I wrote down, because I always keep a pad of paper next to my bed just in case. And we got up next morning. I met him down there in Hopkinsville. Me and Dad went in the preacher's study at the funeral home. And he goes, "Eric, why don't you just get up there first? and you just say a few things and whatever Lord puts on your heart, and I'll just wrap it up for you." And I got up there and I started reading my scripture. And Dad got a little bit quiet sitting behind me. Then I said a quote from that preacher, you know, "You're not a body with a soul, but you're a soul with a body." That's who you are, is the soul. You're not the body. And I said a couple of other scriptures and a couple other quotes, and I said, "Okay, Dad, it's all yours. Come on up." And he got up and he goes, "I ain't got nothing to say." He said, "Here's my notes. That's the same scripture. That's the same quote I thought of last night, that you're a soul with a body." Everything, but it was just the mind of God. You know how they say great minds think alike? His mind is the greatest mind out there. So if your mind thinks like his, you've got a great mind. We turned around. It wasn't several months after that. The Lord woke me up one night, and there was this preacher that was coming in, an evangelist at our church, and the Lord put on my heart, "You go get your very best watch, wristwatch, and you take it to that man. He's been praying for a watch." I just graduated from high school at the time. This is way back. And I had a Whitnire that an actual watch salesman gave to me for my graduation. It was nice, gold-filled crystal front. And I took it that next morning to church. I met that guy in the office, that preacher before service. I told him the Lord had woke me up and told him a story. He goes in to preach. He gets up in front of the whole church. There are about 300 or 400 people there in the morning. He said, "You know, I'd been praying a few weeks ago that I wanted a nice wristwatch." And he said, "And there was this brother told me that God woke him up and told him to give him one of his best watches." And he said, "Dallas, Brother Dallas, I'd like to thank you for doing that." I'm thinking, what? That was me, brother. That was me. It wasn't my dad. But then he pulled up, he's showing the wristwatch off. He goes, "Thank you, Brother Dallas." And he goes, "And also," and he pulls up the other wrist, he said, "Brother Eric," he said, "I'd sure like to thank you for that wristwatch too." But see how God works with you? This is just me and my earthly father that he's dealing with on the same plane, in the same way. And that's happened with us all through the years. So I can't thank him enough, because if the natural represents the spiritual, I'm blessed with two fathers that are just the cream of the crop, cream of the crop. I tell you what, I'd let you sit down, but it's time for the preaching. So let's sing one of them great songs, "I Love Him." And if you don't love him, don't sing it. But if you love him, sing it with all your heart. Yes, I love him.
Oh, I love him. Yes,
was a heavy price.
Salvation on Calvary's tree.
Slip up a hand if you love him.
Oh, I love him. Yes, I
Amen. Amen. Well, we'd like to start out by thanking Brother Moore for his friendship and thank all of you for your friendship and your invite. We really appreciate you all. Love you all. We want to bring greetings from True Word Tabernacle, which is where we fellowship. Our pastor, Wayne Lawson, and our senior pastor, Ray Erickson. The Coveys, such a blessing. I was sitting back there thinking about when I first met Brother Dallas. I was praying for a suit, and I didn't tell anybody I was praying for a suit. And Brother Dallas comes up to me and says, "You know, I have a suit that I've had for quite a while that I think it would fit you perfect." And boy, oh boy, it did. And I got a little bit nervous thinking about that when Brother Eric was telling his story about the wristwatch. I'm thinking, hopefully Eric didn't give me the suit and I'm mixing it up. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn open to Matthew 26, 53 to 54. Matthew 26, 53 and 54. By grace, we'll try to tie a couple scriptures and a couple thoughts together today. But Matthew 26, 53 and 54. "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be?" And if I took a title for today, it would be, "Thus it must be." Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, and we just ask that you have preeminence today. All we want is your presence with us, Lord. All we want is your presence with us, Heavenly Father. If it were possible, I'd just ask that you take this vessel and you set it somewhere in the back of the building that I'm just out of the way, and that you could just speak and you could just use me as a voice, and Lord, likewise, use your body that we all might be edified and that we all might just praise you appropriately, Heavenly Father. We just ask that you add the blessing to the reading of the word, and we pray that lives do not remain the same, that if there's anything amongst us that be hidden, Lord, that you just help us to overcome it, and that you help us to just grow and move forward into who we're supposed to be, Heavenly Father. We thank you and we praise you, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be a little note heavy today. Really praying about today when Brother Eric had asked me to speak. When I go somewhere to speak, I don't want to just go preach. Amen. You know, we want whatever the Lord wants is what we want. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So I want to start off by just summarizing Matthew 26. We read verse 53 and 54, but just to give some context behind that, without us reading the entire chapter, Matthew 26 tells us of the events directly leading to the crucifixion. It tells of the denial and the desertion of Jesus' disciples. The Last Supper and the communion, where he identified that one of his friends would betray him. And then he symbolically began to describe the events that would follow by breaking bread and drinking from a cup, which represented his blood being spilled and his body being broken. We see also that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he battled with his humanity that he was bound to. And we see him in anguish, his heart crying and pleading for another way, but ultimately surrendering to the crushing fate that he knew was upon his shoulders. And I looked up this word Gethsemane, the garden he was in. And I found it interesting that the word Gethsemane meant an oil press. He went there to completely void himself of his human will and begin to surrender fully to that spoken word that was over his life. Every bit of himself he surrendered. He surrendered to the spoken word over his life. He forsook his own wants and his own desires and decided in his heart to fulfill his purpose as Redeemer. And that oil from that garden experience eventually would be spilled out. Everything that God was, he poured into Christ. And everything that Christ was, he poured into the bride. And ultimately, we see Jesus condemned by religious leaders who had their own idea of what the scriptures really meant. And he was handed over to the Roman authorities. The religious leaders who read the scriptures daily missed the interpretation of the scriptures standing right in front of them. We find that riddled through the Bible, that the rejection of the true word of God brings about death and destruction. And as Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate, he was eventually subjected to merciless beatings that no man has ever endured. Now, I want to point something out. Every bit of Jesus' life, every single thing he did was a fulfillment of Scripture. The miracles that happened, the baptism, the words he spoke, the places he went, even the mockery identified who he was according to the word. And I have probably 100 scriptures here to prove that. I don't have time to do that right now. So the Roman soldiers, driven by cruelty and devoid of mercy, lashed him with a cat of nine tails, and this cat of nine tails was embedded with bone and metal, and with each lash it ripped his flesh and exposed his bone and exposed his muscles. And it was agonizing for 39 lashes. The pain was excruciating. And I imagine his knees weak as he's fighting back vomit from the pain that he's facing. His body covered in blood and sweat and dirt. I'm not standing before you today telling you I'm a prophet or anything, but I saw this. And if you can ever catch an image of this event, after the brutal beating, the soldiers, fueled by sadistic pleasure, further tormented Jesus. They placed a crown of thorns on his head, mocking his claim as king. And upon studying this, the Lord was speaking to me. I kept telling my wife, the Lord is really impressing on me to look up the crown of thorns. And so I began to study that out. And Jewish historians, after years of study and piecing history together and scripture together, they claim that the thorn bush that the crown of thorns was made from was, of course, one of the lowliest of the thorn briars. But they figured out that crown of thorns was actually linked to the same type of bush as the burning bush that the angel of the Lord appeared on to Moses in Exodus 3. So these mockers and scoffers unknowingly crowned the Messiah and identified him as the self-same I am that I am. The self-same God that appeared in the burning bush, they were now trying to kill. John 8:58. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was I am. And the spoken word was the original seed, Brother Branham would say. They would point back over their shoulder, back down through time, and say, We're Moses' disciples. We know that God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. We know. They know the history of Moses, but they didn't know the God of Moses. Because he stood before them in John 6 and said, Before Abraham was I am, the burning bush. They knew Moses' history. So is it today. They claim they know the word of Christ, but they don't know the God that was in Christ. Amen. John 5:46. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. The thorns dug into his scalp, causing streams of blood to trickle down his face as his salty tears mixed with the blood. They struck him, they spat on him, they taunted him, frothing at the mouth at his suffering. Weak and torn, Jesus then was made to carry his own cross to the site of his crucifixion, a hill called Golgotha. The weight of the cross on top of his weakened condition probably, you could imagine, caused Jesus to stumble and fall multiple times along the agonizing journey. His body, already ravaged and beaten, was probably torn more by the splintered wood falling and crushing him each time it fell, yet he carried it. When he made it to Golgotha, Jesus was stripped of his garments, leaving him exposed and vulnerable. He was naked in front of everyone. Now, imagine that. Imagine the humiliation, the vulnerability. Imagine what the onlookers thought, especially someone like Barabbas, who was just released, staring at someone who's dying on a cross he should be on. Come here, Barabbas. Look up yonder. Listen to that cross bumping on the ground. Hear the nails when they're drove into his hands. Shonk, shonk, shonk. Piercing the most sensitive nerves, causing unimaginable pain. The weight of his body hanging from the nails caused immense strain on his wounds, stretching the exposed muscle and widening the gap between his rib bones, and maybe onlookers could see his heart and lungs through his ribs, his shallow breaths just intensifying with the suffering. His disciples abandoned him. He was there alone. And in that moment, the feeling of separation from the great spirit, God. In that moment, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yet he proclaimed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This was a true expression of faith in his own word. The people who rejected John's message and rejected the very manifestation of the scriptures began themselves to fulfill the scriptures. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but nothing can stop the word of God from happening, Amen. Not even those who tried to crucify the word. Amen. And we know the rest of that story. What I'd like to do now is, if you'd like, you can turn open to 2 Kings 5:1. By grace, we're going to try to tie these things together. Thank you, brother. 2 Kings 5:1. Amen. Now Naaman, captain of the king of Syria, he was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. But he was a leper. Naaman was a commander of the Syrian army, a valiant and respected man. Naaman was a Gentile, and a fulfillment of prophecy, which was his involvement in Ahab's death, as prophesied by Elijah. He was a highly ranked commander and a well-known and looked up to and respected man. And he was likely a proud man, proud of his achievements pertaining to war victories. However, Naaman was hiding something from the public eye, which plagued him with physical and social anguish, something that if it were known, he'd be cast away from the people in exile. He would no longer hold his rank. He would no longer be associated with a prestigious military and a political authority. He suffered from a dreadful disease known as leprosy. Naaman daily hid this disease from everyone he was associated with. How hard that must have been to hide such a disease. Leprosy rots the flesh and muscle. It makes limbs weak. They fall off or wither up. A lack of blood flow causes dry, cracked skin and ulcers, and it harbors bacteria. And these bacteria primarily go after colder areas on the body, so a lot of the times people with leprosy, their nose will be affected, and their nose sinks in, and it gives them a lion-type appearance, if you can imagine that. It erodes it and it collapses the cartilage on the nose. Leprosy can also affect the eyes, leading to blindness, as well as the vocal cords, resulting in a hoarse and altered voice. And on top of all that, it stunk. And I want to point out that leprosy in the Bible represented sin. Naaman was a deformed man because leprosy. And Jesus took sin upon himself. He wasn't unclean, he was spotless. But he took it when he was publicly broken and deformed. He took it on himself so that we could be free. Can you imagine the difficulty of Naaman keeping this a secret? He didn't want to go into exile, so he had to hold this secret. And you probably don't have leprosy in your flesh tonight, but leprosy of sin and bad habits and secrets that you're fighting to conceal. You could have pornography right at your hip, and it could be concealed. It could be burning up and eating you because it's on your phone, in your pocket, hidden. Sin is nothing but destructive. It's ruining your marriage. It's ruining your life. It's driving a wedge between you and your family. The Spirit of the Lord discerns. The preaching of the Word discerns. It's a higher power coming to you at your seat. And right now where you're at, it's your opportunity. It's your time to say, God, I want to get rid of that thing right now. Father, forgive me. I'll never revisit that thing again. I don't want that habit in my life. But you could also easily rebel. You could say, what business is that of yours, preacher? You could avoid it. But I don't want to do that. Pride could cause an evil spirit to grab you and take you a completely different way, a different direction. But I know a God that can change your life this day, this service, this very moment. He can change your life. Amen. While Naaman was away in battle, he had brought home a young girl, an Israelite girl. She was captured during a raid in the area where Ahab was, where he was killed. And she became a mistress, but she was a believer. And Naaman, being a public figure, a man of great stature, goes home, and he comes in and unwraps from his armor. And that captured girl sees him unwrapping. And though she be a foreigner in the land, though she be under captivity, though she being a servant to this man, she could have held mercy because of her state of being. She could have just said, he gets what he deserves. He's got leprosy. He's taken me captive. He gets what he deserves. Let him die. Let him rot. Let him publicly crumble. But there's something great about the message of the hour that she had tucked in her heart. She said, there's a prophet in our land, in my home country, and his name's Elisha. And if you could get to him, God could heal you of this dreaded disease. Now, understand that no person had ever been healed of leprosy to this point. No one. Not under Elijah, not under Elisha. But this little girl believed in the principle of God. All things are possible. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Deliverance from pornography and lust and deliverance from drinking and smoking and lying and adultery and overcoming every devil of hell is possible. When the devil tells you it's impossible, I want you to know that I know a God that turns impossibility possible. Amen. Naaman, amen. Thus it must be. When Naaman came to believe her report, he journeyed to the land, or he journeyed to the king of Syria, rather, requesting permission to seek healing in Israel. The king granted his request and sent him with gifts and a letter to the king of Israel. When the king of Israel received the letter, he was actually distressed and he was fearful because he thought that the Syrian king was seeking some sort of war opportunity. But he went to the prophet, Elisha, and Elisha advised the king to send Naaman to him. Now, I thought about this while I was reading that. Just imagine if our fine country would have accepted a prophet's message instead of that of Billy Graham or some, you know, so forth. How different of a situation we would be in today. He would have told him right where the trouble was and right where the problems were. We wouldn't be facing Christianity today in the condition it's in, where they hire homosexual preachers and women preachers and things of that nature. We would be under the auspices of the Word as a nation, but it would call for obedience to the Word. Naaman arrived at Elisha's house with a horse and chariots. He takes his caravan, takes all of his money and his jewelry and his talents of silver, ready to witness a grand display of a powerful healing in return for his treasures. So he's in his heart, he's actually wanting to pay this prophet to heal him. And he's expecting it. And you can imagine how Naaman felt, because he was somebody special. This prophet, he's going to come out and bow to me, a great military leader. The prophet will provide a great feast. Maybe he'll do a lot of things. He'll instantly heal me. He probably had a lot of false illusions. Instead, Elisha sent a simple messenger to Naaman, instructing him to go and wash himself 7 times in the Jordan River. Naaman was infuriated by the overly simple command, expecting a more extravagant and dignified ceremony. He was mad. He was angry. He didn't get the response he expected. The way he thought it would go wasn't the way things went. And you'd be mad too. Don't lie. He come out. He won't come out to see me. I'm dying here. I'm rotting away. I'm the one that fulfilled the prophecy. Look at who I am. He wasn't interested in who he was. His political stature didn't concern him one bit, none whatsoever. The servant went back in and told him, no doubt, what was all going on. And he said, tell him to go wash. Go wash in the muddy river of Jordan. Go down there and wash, and don't just dip one time, but you dip 7 times. And when the servant goes out and gives him the news, he didn't tell him, now, you're well, go home, be well. No, he told him, go to the Jordan, in that muddy Jordan, which means death. Go to that crossing, and when you get down there, go completely under. Dip in that water 7 times. So Naaman does like any church folk would do. He does it his way. Lucifer did it his way. Your biggest enemy is your way. Can't you go back and negotiate, Mr. Preacher? I can't dip in those old muddy waters. The waters up in Syria are better. They're cleaner. Way cleaner than the Jordan. Those waters are messy. God, change your word to suit my way. Maybe you could make an exception. Maybe you could send 12 legions of angels to rescue me. I know a prophet has thus saith the Lord, but isn't there another way? But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled that thus it must be? Let me just say, you don't negotiate with God. How long has it been since you had prayer in your home where your family prayed together and the power of God flowed through that house like a rushing mighty wind? Oh, I thought that only happened in church, preacher. No, he'll meet you in your bedroom. He met me there. He'll meet you right there where you are, where you're praying. He hears your prayer. The child that you want to come back to church, he hears your prayer. Maybe you've been mishandled by a man. Maybe you've mishandled by a church. Maybe you've been treated wrong, pushed you out by someone, broken your spirits. Something catastrophic happened. And this puts me in mind of this story. I'm kind of straying a bit. This puts me in mind of the story. I'm sure you're all very familiar with it. Brother Branham was fishing with some brothers. I can't think of their name. Brother Lyle, maybe. And they caught a small bluegill. And this bluegill swallowed the hook all the way into its stomach. And he tried to get it out, but he didn't try too hard. He was shaking the fish. He was mishandling the fish. And he ended up pulling the guts out of the fish and tossing it over into the river. And a couple waves hit it against the bank, and it sat there and just splashed against the bank a couple times. And I think he said something along the lines of, well, little fish, you served your last wad right there. Something of that nature. Well, I remember Brother Branham, something came over him, and he was sitting there, and a rushing mighty wind came in, and it said, speak to that fish, and it shall live. And Brother Branham stood up, and he said something so simple and so sweet, little fishy, in the name of Jesus Christ, you have life. And that fish, by the testimony of those brothers, flipped up without its guts and swam under the boat. They witnessed it. That fish was mishandled by a man. mishandled by a church, however you want to look at that. But no matter how you've been mishandled, no matter what your family has said against you for believing this message, for standing for God, no matter how marred, no matter the condition, a prophet spoke a word of life into the body of Jesus Christ. Naaman was eventually convinced by his servants to listen to what he was told to do. Reluctantly, Naaman went to the Jordan River and baptized himself 7 times, as Elisha commanded. Naaman chose to dip into death 6 times, and on the 7th, he resurrected with a new body. Naaman saw the glory of God's word unveiled, and he vowed to worship the God of Israel alone. He requested permission to take some of Israel's soil back to Syria to build an altar. Naaman wanted to stand on holy ground in his own home. He wanted to stand where a prophet of God stood. And brother, I just want to stand where Adam stood. We're under a restoration. Amen. God's provided way for this day. And I say today that if we obey God's provided way, leprosy will leave, sickness will leave, everything will leave. But we've got to come His way. Amen. His way for this day. Amen. Now, dipping in the Jordan wouldn't do any good now. That was for Naaman. The law was for the Jews and grace by Christ. And God gives those the Holy Ghost who obey Him. So who obeyed Him? The one that believed Him and accepted it. The ones who obeyed Him. See, in Acts 5:32, it says, "And we are His witnesses of the things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him." The evidence of a Spirit-filled Christian believer is not to produce the truth, but to receive the truth, and to believe the truth, and to obey the truth. In the Easter seal, Brother Brandon would say, "And Jesus was born, the Son of God, to be Emmanuel, God's full expression in a man. And He found Him in perfect obedience down at the River Jordan, being baptized by that prophet. And as soon as he obeyed Him and walked out of the water, the heavens opened up to John. And he saw the Holy Ghost descending from heaven, saying, 'This is My beloved Son.'" See? Perfect obedience. The Spirit had sought him out in obedience. Now that God's quickening power that come upon Jesus quickened him to manifest every promise of the word to that day, so does the Holy Spirit that come upon us in this day. The real true Holy Spirit, it'll manifest the promise of this hour. When it fell upon Luther, it manifested that promise of that hour. And when it fell upon Wesley, it manifested that promise of that hour. Praise the Lord. When it falls in this day, it manifests the promise of this hour. When it fell upon Moses, it manifested the promise of that hour. When it fell upon Noah, it manifested the promise of that hour. And we could just go on and on, I'm sure. When it fell upon Jesus, it manifests the promise of that hour. And when it falls on the bride tree, see, it's the Holy Spirit coming down to quicken and make alive those people that were foreordained to God to be in the rapture. If he's a true eagle, he will understand the message of the hour. If he's a true eagle, then this earthly body is quickened and brought by a quickening spirit to the obedience of God's word. You're ready to obey every word that God has ever spoken of you for you to do. You're submissive to his word. Denying the word and going down your own way only crucifies the word afresh. It keeps you in a condition of death and decay. There's a reason I wanted to really emphasize the crucifixion, the details. Rejecting the word does that. Amen. That's exactly the picture of that. But not only that, but you're keeping yourself in a condition of death and decay. And out of the blessing that God has set here, waiting for you to take hold of. Imagine if Naaman rejected the word. He would have went home and he would have rotted. Dip into this word and allow it to resurrect you as a new creation in Christ. This message is the provided way for the rapture of the bride. Yeah. Don't let the devil take hold of the word and interpret it to you. In Jude 1:9, it reads, "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, He disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." And I think that this scripture is so interesting to me, because we know Moses was a type of the word. And the devil wanted to get his hands on a type of the word. Because if he could get his hands on a type of the word, he can control God's people.
Amen.
And if you think about today, our modern society, we have our vindicated Bible, but we also have probably 55,000 other different types of Bibles. And when I read that, I'd like to say the Lord dropped this thought in my mind. Well, if the devil could control the word, he can control the people.
That's right.
But God foresaw that type of, there's no good word for it, molestation of the word.
Right.
It's hard, but it's truth. That's what the devil is trying to do. He's trying to take it and make you believe what you want to believe and make you go your way and make you
Amen.
Disregard the word of God. But he dropped a Revelation 10:7 with an open book in preparation for that.
Amen.
And that mighty angel that came down said, "The Lord rebuke you."
Right.
As I'm looking into this topic, I come across this science experiment from the early 1990s. To me, very interesting. I guess my theme here today is not only stay right with the word, but it's also animals. Because what these scientists did is they took a bunch of fleas. And these fleas, you know, fleas can jump very, very high in proportion to their body. But these scientists took these fleas and they put them in a jar. And of course, with the lid off, the jar was pretty useless. They just jumped out. Well, they put the lid on, and they had a handful of fleas, a bunch of them in this jar. Well, these fleas were jumping to their full potential, but eventually the fleas realized they're hitting their head on the top of the jar, or I guess the bottom of the jar lid, right? They're hitting their head. And the scientists noticed that after some time, these fleas stopped jumping to their potential. They took the lid off, and these fleas, even with the lid off, continued to jump at the lid's height. They dumped the fleas out. They continued to jump at the lid's height. They were completely free, but they were bound by their own limitations, their own self-limitations. They did this experiment for a few months. Fleas, their lifespan is a few months. So they watched these fleas as they gave birth to little fleas. And generation after generation saw what their parents were doing and only jumped as high as their parents jumped. Well, what these scientists did is they took and they dropped in a flea that had never been part of that experiment. They dropped in a flea that remembered what its potential was. And they sat and they watched. They stepped back and they just watched what was going to happen. Well, lo and behold, one after one, they noticed that flea was jumping to its full potential. And then the next flea started jumping higher. And the next flea started jumping higher. And pretty soon, they're all realizing that they have that potential in them because they're fleas. And of course, I'm not saying that the bride of Jesus Christ is fleas, but if you could just realize that a prophet's message is the word of Jesus Christ. It's the word, and rejection of the word is just the same as crucifying the word afresh. And God, I don't want to be like one of those who claimed to know him but crucified him. I accept your word, Lord. I met the God of William Branham. He met me on the highways and the byways, and he gave me a reality of this message. This message is always right. This message is the authority. Just as Jesus surrendered to the spoken word over his life and fulfilled his purpose as Redeemer, a word was spoken about a bride who will not deny the word, who would be spotless. She would be so one with the groom that when he spoke, she spoke too. Let my voice blend with this word, and let my spirit blend with the spirit of Jesus Christ. This message will lift you far above Laodicea. Come up a little higher, bride. A prophet, Revelation 10:7, was dropped into our generation with a message meant to lift you above any situation that's contrary to the word of God. You just have to look at it and realize who you are. That same potential lives in the bride of Jesus Christ. We've had our wave sheaf. Come up a little higher, bride. Come up a little higher. This world is polluted. The air, the water, it's all polluted. That water feeds the flowers. But the flowers still bloom because God spoke a law about them. And he spoke about a bride that no matter what pollution is poured in, would be spotless. You just have to submerge yourself in this message. And I've showed up today to let the devil know that he cannot stop the bride of Jesus Christ from manifesting. He tried to stop Jesus Christ on the cross. He thought that was his victory, but with a resurrection was the victory. Come up a little higher, bride. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If I'm told to dive headfirst into the Jordan, I'd take the prophet's opinion over any voice in the land today. The blood is here this evening. God's anointed you to be here this evening. We were sitting and fellowshipping, eating dinner. We ate cheddar's chicken fingers, and it was a great meal. Donuts, I had the works. I was spoiled. And a brother came in, and it was a simple invite. Hey, you want to come to church tonight? He's like, yes, sir. There's something in him that's calling for this word of God. And if he's an eagle, he'll reply. He'll respond. He'll jump higher. He'll jump out of Laodicea. Thank you, brother, for coming. Appreciate you, and I love you. Come up a little higher, bride. Just get in the word. My God is greater than any problem. This message is life. This message is Christ. This message is a product of the cross. This message is the voice out of a burning bush to us. And I believe in the authority of this word to take every spirit under the control of the word and charge every demon of unbelief and every demon that holds anybody bound to anything. And I condemn you in the name of Jesus Christ. He's here. He's here. If you don't recognize that presence, there's something wrong. He's here. There's a presence in this building. He's here. He's here in his bride. The angel of the Lord is here with us. The angel of the Lord accompanies this message. And oh, just to wash his feet. Just to wash his feet. And how do we wash his feet? We come under this message. When we accept this word, we're washing the feet of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's a presence in this building. He's here in power. He's here in anointing. He's here in truth. He's here to set the captive free. He's here to expose every secret sin. He's here to make us better. He's here to form us into an image. And as we submit to that, we're formed into the image of the bride of Jesus Christ. He's here in the form of the Holy Ghost. He's here to reclaim. He's here to deliver. He's here to heal. He's here to save. How many can testify of that? He's here. He's here to unveil himself and make himself more real to you than anything else in your life. And we've seen his appearing by the word made manifest. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God's confession is God's reputation. If God has spoke it, his reputation is on the line. And if he called himself a healer, his reputation is on the line. And if he called himself a deliverer, his reputation is on the line. And if he said there's going to be a spotless bride, his reputation is on the line. Come up a little higher, bride. If you're an eagle, spread your wings and fly above Laodicea. Because this message has equipped us to soar over every sin, every sickness, every disease, everything. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
If we can just go back for a second to the beginning of this sermon where we're talking about Jesus Christ on the cross. We know that he is the word. He is the word. His message is the word. We believe that. When he was pinned up to the cross. A broken, disfigured man. Look at him. Behold him. Disfigured. They pierced his side. And water and blood. These different materials begin to pour out of him. The redemption blood mixed with the healing blood from his stripes and fell to the ground. And the water fell to the ground. It fell on what Adam's body was originally created out of. I love that. Because it shows that from the very beginning, this flesh is forgiven. This flesh is redeemed. That water that fell on that soil and began to mix in, began to grow weeds. And it began to grow flowers. It began to expose what was really in there the whole time. And you know that when this message struck your life, it showed you that you were sons from the beginning. Don't let the devil come at you and tell you that you're anything less than a son of God. Don't let him come at you and tell you that you're anything less than the bride of Jesus Christ, that you're an eagle. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's who I am. He's here. Thank you, Lord. Just get in this word. He's greater than any problem. Amen. Thus it must be. Thus it must be. No matter what comes against you, you are who you are because he said. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. The glory of God's word is unveiled to us. Would you make that vow to worship only the God of Israel? Only the God who spoke this message. One true God. Would you make that vow today? I'm not in a position to call anything or anybody out. Maybe this message was for me. And I'd be the first to rededicate my own life, rededicate my own heart. But I'm feeling really pulled in a certain direction right now. That if we together, after hearing this word, if we together could just maybe come dip in the Jordan for a moment. Raise our hand and surrender to him and just say, Lord, Lord, forgive me. Anything that's concealed, anything that's considered leprosy in our life, we don't want it. We want this word, and we want this word alone. This message is where the authority of a Christian's life begins and ends. And if this message, if a prophet, even if it was an opinion, if a prophet said, hey, don't cut your hair. Think about it. There's a reason. There's a reason for that. If a prophet spoke a certain way, there's a reason for that. Naaman was furious when he was told to go dip 7 times in a muddy river. A nasty, probably bacteria-filled river. He was furious. But when he did it, he came up with a new body.
Amen.
And I just thought of this. This is fresh here. My mind just went to Jesus, his first miracle, 6 clay pots. Naaman was dunked 6 times. And when he came up, it was a new body. It was a healed body. There's 6 clay pots, and the 7th is he himself. And we know Brother Branham said she is him. She is him. Don't embarrass the Lord Jesus Christ by inviting him into your house and then acting contrary to the word. Thank you, Lord. That's all I can say is thank you, Lord. I'm happy. Thank you, Lord. This is from the cuff, so we're just going with it. Yeah. It's from the cuff. So just pray for me. You pull a certain direction, we'll go. I just want to obey him. There's this story I like. I don't know. Again, my theme, I guess, is just animals. There's this young lady that she was training her horse. And, of course, at first the horse was hard to break. She would tap it on the left, and it would move left, maybe. It took some work. But eventually, after maybe years, she would tap it on the left, and the horse would go left immediately. And she'd tap it on the right, and the horse would go right immediately. And she would whip it to go forward, and it would go forward immediately, and backwards, and it would go backwards immediately. This horse was so in tune with her instruction or her direction that in an instant, the horse would move that way. And it got to the point where that horse was dancing. I mean, this horse was dancing because of her direction. Tap, 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 tap. And it just puts you in mind. It puts you in mind of who our prophet typed, Moses, who was given his word of the hour, and he came upon the Red Sea. After all this pressure was pushed up behind him, he's looking, maybe thinking like, how do I get out of this situation? But God parted the Red Sea, and they crossed that Red Sea. And when they looked back, Miriam picked up a tambourine and started dancing. Because of the obedience to the word, she started dancing, and she had a new song on that land. Because she looked back, and all of her enemies that had bothered her for her whole life were under the Red Sea. And if tonight we could look at that situation, and again, put everything under the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we don't go fishing. We don't go fishing. You leave it there. We thank you, Lord. I pray this was a blessing. I don't have much else on my mind, so maybe the musicians could come. I did ask my wife if she'd like to sing. Hopefully she's in the mood to do that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father.
The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountains, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day.
Reaches to the lowest valley. My, we were at the lowest valley. The word came and took us to the highest mountain, to where that we could see. I was thinking about that God in simplicity, them little fleas. How much more simple can you get, you know, than them fleas? And to just think that we can't soar above if we don't know we can. Even if we can, if we don't know we can, we can't. But when God gives you revelation, He says you can. You can. I was looking on the wall of a brother's Facebook today, and I listened to his message. Just for some odd reason, I thought, I'm going to take a snapshot of just the front of his Facebook, what's right on the post, the top, where your picture normally is. And if this doesn't go with your message, brother, I don't know what does. It says you will never influence the world by by being just like it.
That's right.
You can't be like the world and dress like the world and act like the world and influence them. You're just like them. You're that flea that just jumps as high as the lid. But we need the one in a million, the one in a million,
Amen.
To get around the rest and start jumping high.
Amen.
Reach into the highest mountain so that we can show them that, hey, it's in you. If you let Christ come in, he is the highest mountain.
Amen.
He is the highest mountain.
Amen.
He's the deepest sea. He's the deeper word. He's not what the world listens to.
Right.
Oh, my.
Amen.
Reaches to the highest mountain. I was so impressed with that.
Yeah.
Lord, thank you for
Amen.
Putting this brother on my heart.
Amen.
Oh, my gosh. What a blessing.
Amen.
Mm. I've learned definitely, speaking for myself, not to lean to my own understanding.
No,
I'm telling you, half of the preachers I've brought, I probably wouldn't have brought them if I'd leaned to my own understanding. And then I'm thinking, what's wrong with you, Brother Eric? What, after I hear him preach, you know what I mean? It's like looking at somebody that you don't think can dance, you know, and then suddenly they get up and dance, and you're like, wow, they actually could dance, you know? And don't go by looks, you know? Because I'm really a good guy. Don't go by looks. Yeah. But I was just thinking that flea just not jump, be able to jump, you know, they say you can't really get higher than your teaching and your preachers and all that stuff, but you know, this world, why it can't get no higher is because this world is their lid. They can't get no higher than this world that'll allow them to. That's why it took not a man sent from the world, but it took a man sent from God,
Amen.
You know, to show us that we're not of this world, so we can jump higher than this
Amen.
World. Just such a blessing. I am glad I came to church tonight.
Amen.
Man, yes.
Amen.
I feel like I got something to preach about on Saturday, you know, now. You know, you know, sometimes if you can't take your own notes, you know, you just go hear somebody that's already studied for a couple weeks, and you just kind of copy off their paper. And you know what? There was a man one time, he wrote a book, and I've copied from his book all my life, and he entitled it The Holy Bible. And I'm telling you, what a book. If you ever want to copy after somebody that writes the truth.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
You talk about inspiration. Me and my brother, we talk a lot. We're Coveys. We talk a lot. But in order, if I'm talking, he has to listen, so he's going to learn something. But if he talks, I have to listen, you know. And he'll say, you remember that one time when Brother Jeremiah preached on the top 10? And then we go into that. You remember when, you know, Brother Jay, he preached on this and this and that, and Brother... you know, Nate, he preached on the tower or something like that. And then we're like, oh, my, yeah. And then it throws our mind all these different directions.
Right.
And we're like, yeah, we got so much to feed from, people.
Yeah.
If we're spiritually starving, oh, there's something wrong with our ears. There's something wrong with us. We need to reach to that highest mountain.
Amen.
Are you feeling good tonight
Amen.
In your spirit?
Amen.
Don't worry about your flesh. That flesh ain't going nowhere. But if you're feeling good in your spirit, why don't you stand to your feet tonight, stretch a little bit?
Amen.
Are you looking for your heavenly home?
Amen.
You can't miss it because it's bright and fair.
Amen.
You can't miss it. Oh, man. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on, getting out of this whole world. Wouldn't you rather run on the streets of gold and be able to run? Yes, be able to run. My heavenly home. Well, my heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel
like traveling. That's a good message. I was thinking about those fleas too. I thought God's taking the top off. And people are still trying to bounce a little high. But you know, this bride, she's going to bounce from here to glory. We actually are on our way out of here. And people get complacent. And they only go as far as they can see. But that's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And that's the very evidence of things not seen. So we're talking about traveling on. I'm going to bounce from here to glory. I'm going to get out of here. It's waiting. It is so ready for me. He said, I'm going to prepare a place. And he did. He is so true to he's true to his word. He said, I go to prepare a place. And that where I am, there ye may bounce also. Let's bounce. Let's get out of this place.
Amen.
But you know what's so interesting about that survey, that scientific experiment, is they actually at one point could bounce high. They could do it. And they let themselves talk themselves out of it. They let tradition, man's ideas, man's caps. This is as far as you can go. This is as far as you can believe. That's the way Satan does us. You know, oh, it's okay to believe for salvation, but don't believe for healing. Oh, you can believe for healing, but don't believe that God's going to answer all your prayers. Oh, God's going to answer all your prayers, but you're not going to get a body change. But no, 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 no. We have been limited by our own tradition. And Jesus said, because of the tradition of men you've made, not God. God didn't do this to us. God didn't put us in this condition. We put ourselves in this condition. Because of our own traditions, we've made the word of God of none effect. He can't even give us, he can't do to us what he wants to do to us because we don't believe it. We need to start believing God. Take him at his word. If he says you're saved, you're saved. If he says you're healed, you're healed. You know, it's the same God, the same thing that takes, the same faith that it takes for healing is the same faith that it takes for salvation. It's the same faith that it takes to take your loved ones. It's the same takes the same faith that allows you to get a body change. It's the same faith. We've only talked ourselves out of it. Well, I'm talking myself back into it. God sent us a prophet, and that prophet bounced in this jar, and I looked, and I said, my goodness, I can bounce that high? And now I'm taking everything that he showed me, and I'm putting it to work in my life. And when I need healing, it's mine. If I need salvation, it's mine. It's not even hard. It's not, salvation ain't hard. Just believe. Take God at his word.
Right.
He wants us to take him at his word.
Amen.
Talk yourself into a body change.
Amen.
Well, we can't walk through walls. Yes, we can.
Yes.
Oh, we can't get a body change. Yes, we can. Well, we can't go to the marriage supper. Yes, we can.
Oh, yes. By your confession.
You confess it. You put it out there.
Amen.
And watch what God will do. Because God is so nervous about his word.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like you said, he is his word. He holds that. It's his word. How'd you word that? I wrote that down. I thought, oh, yeah. God's confession is God's reputation. Well, what about yours? Your confession is your reputation. If you don't believe God, it'll show. You'll get tired. You'll get wore out. You won't feel like traveling on. But your confession... By what? Oh, God, he's so true to his word. He said, I can't swear by nothing better than myself. That's somebody's got confidence. He can't. His reputation is dependent on it. And God told us that whatever I speak, I will do. Now, I didn't ask him to say that. He said it. So now what I'm going to do, as throw his reputation out there. God, you said.
It's on him.
You said.
Yeah.
You said.
Amen.
When I need something, you said. Your word said. You promised me. And I'm going to hold you right there. And that make God. And it's a good thing God can't get nervous. It would make him nervous, but he's not nervous because he knows. It's, I said it. I'll do exactly what I said. He is true to his word. So we need to realize the lid's off now.
Right.
The lid came off in 1963.
Right.
We found out that we don't have to stay in denominations. We don't have to keep our traditions. We don't have to be in the world. We don't have to. We can create an atmosphere. You know what?
Yeah.
If you don't create an atmosphere, the world will.
Oh, that is true.
You're so right.
Yes.
If you don't set the pace and create the atmosphere, let them be uncomfortable with your atmosphere. Make the devil uncomfortable. And they are. Because you are the one that creates, you're creating this world. I create a world around me. So that when they come to my house, I don't care who it is, when we sit down to dinner, we don't eat before we pray. I don't care if you're saint or sinner.
Right.
That's just, we set the, that's, I create the atmosphere. You know, I'm just not going to have any old something going on. I'm going to set the atmosphere. I'm going to set the pace in my house. And if you're uncomfortable there, then after a while, you're going to say, you know, I got to go. You're either going to go or repent. But you ain't going to stay the same. You know, if you come in the presence of Jesus Christ, you never leave the same. You know, when you come in the presence of the bride of Jesus Christ, you never leave the same. You set the pace, people. Good to have you here, brother. Good to have Brother Covey. You've done it again.
Thank you.
Don't forget.
I like that.
Don't forget the announcements. And there's some people are out on vacation, so remember them on the roads or flying or however they're getting, wherever they're going. And some leave them. I think we got some on boats, some on planes, some in cars. I think we got them all this time. But it's the summertime, so a lot of people will be taking trips and being out. And so just remember them in prayer. Remember those that are sick. Remember Dawn's sisters, plural, both of her sisters, and remember Dawn, too. And just remember the body. Trevor, don't forget him. Tina, don't forget her. Sister Judy, don't forget her. Just keep all these things. Don't forget Clarice. Just the body. And remember Sister King back there.
Amen.
She's home, but she's home fighting.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's fight with her. Defeat that devil. You know, I told somebody that I said, you know, I don't care what you call it. You can call it cancer. You can call it arthritis. You can call it COVID. You can call it. It's the devil. It's the devil. And you got authority to cast it off. You said, well, I don't know if I can. Well, you won't then. If you never, you know, if you never get started, you'll never get to where you're going. If you want healing, you start talking like you're healed. I'm talking like I'm going to get a body change. I'll get it. I'm going to walk and talk myself right into it. Amen. We got to close. Amen. There's never been a day like this day to me. Never been. There's never been a day like this day that I see. There's never been a light that shines so bright as this day. This glorious day. This isn't a sad day. People think, you know, oh, we're at the end. The world's in terrible shape. And this is the best the bride's ever had it. She ain't never had the authority that we have. She's never understood like we understand. Brother Branham asked that one man, said, if it could be in any day, what day would you choose to live in? This day. You know why this day is so great? Because we have the understanding of the entire Bible now. We can go anywhere and preach anywhere and see. The book's open. The seals are revealed. The prophet's come and gone. The message is here. It's in the bride.
Amen.
The Lord comes in a shout, voice, and trumpet. 2 out of 3 is already done.
That's right.
We only have much to do now.
Amen.
What other day would you want to be here? You want to be struggling on with Luther and say, oh, Lord, somehow, maybe if I can be saved. I got a no-so salvation. I know I'm going to heaven. You say, how do you know you're going? Because I come from God. The Bible tells me that no man can go to heaven except for he that come from heaven, even the Son of Man. Not just him, even him. So I come from heaven. How do you know you come from heaven? Because I'm born again. God ain't going to give me a new birth unless he's going to take me home. He don't put his eternal germ seed in something that ain't going to be eternal. All right, come on. This is, I'm just singing this song. That's all I'm doing. Oh, my. There's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day I see. Shine so bright as this day, this glorious day. So what are you going to do with it? Oh, we will walk in the light. It's such a beauty. Boy, come on, come on. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are. It's all around us. It shines all around us by day and by. What is it? Oh, it's Jesus, the light of the world. The bride, she will walk in. Oh, it's such a beauty. Let's just come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. For it shines all around us by day and by night. For it's Jesus, the light of the world. Oh, we will walk in.
It's such a
dismissed.